Well, good morning. It's a beautiful day here in Northfield, Minnesota. Plenty of sunshine, temperature at 10 degrees. Unfortunately, they're all above zero. Today is Thursday. It's the eighth day, the beginning of the second week of March in the year is 2018. My guests are all getting comfortable, and we are going to have some music and some stories, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. And if the group here wants to look up this particular show on the KYMN radio website, you're welcome to do so after we download it and tell your friends that missed the show today that they can listen to it. And it's dubbed the No Name Band. Okay? No Name Band is what I'm putting on the computer there. Now I have to now work the microphones, see which ones I've got working. And let's test mic two. Who's on mic two? Somebody say something.
Say something.
Okay, you're on mic two.
All right.
All right. And what is your name?
Well, I'm Amber. I'm Amber Miskowitz.
Hi, Amber.
Hi. Good to see you, Wayne. I'm good, thanks.
Amber, mic two. I got to write this stuff down.
Absolutely.
All right. We got mic two taken care of. Let's see who's on mic three.
Check.
Well, you're going to be check on this one.
Do that again. Testing.
Okay, and what is your name?
My name is Craig.
Craig. Okay, C-R-A-I-G.
That's correct.
Okay, and Craig is on mic number four. Okay, so that must mean, we'll turn this one off. That must be Greg over there, am I right?
Good morning, Wayne. It's Good Greg morning. Smith.
Greg Smith is on mark three, excuse me. On mic three there, so I hope I can keep things going. Now, we have this group, and they are people, I think all of you have been on my show one time or before, and now you put together a group, and I have it, like I said, as a no-name band. However, you were looking for a name for your band. You have two other members, and they are women. And how many of you are instrumentalists as well of the five individual I see? You brought along a tambourine. I don't know what you brought along. Are you the tambourine?
Well,
wait a minute. I got it. There we go.
There we go. Am I on there?
Not yet. Now you are.
Hello. There we are. Well, Craig and I do a little bit of percussion. And then one of our bandmates, Kathy, his wife, she is our main percussionist and our secretary extraordinaire. But I would say the main instrumentalist would be Greg over here on the guitar.
Okay. That sounds like a plan. Do you like the idea that I dubbed you No Name?
That's okay.
My
favorite steaks are No Name, right?
That's where I came. That's why it sounded familiar. I called, how about Tri-Dub? Tri-Dub. That's because, there are three women.
That's true.
And two men.
That's a good idea. I like that one.
Bad.
We'll have to throw that on the list. I don't know. We thought we'd throw it out there and see what people think, or, you know, we're just kind of stewing on it.
Okay.
We've came up with a couple other ones. What do you think? Should we share? I don't know. I like
Loco Vocal.
Or Loco Voco.
Loco Vocal. That's hard to say.
Yeah. No, that's a tongue twister.
The Loco Vocal will be performing tonight
in
the Tri-Dub Auditorium. All right. And we're going to play music, but more importantly, we're going to get to know each of you. You've been on the air with me before, but it's been quite a while. And I always... The show just seems to be gaining in popularity because I invite people on that have never been on it, and they tell their friends, and those friends listen, and they say, hey, that's kind of an interesting show. You don't get a two-hour talk show, not a phone-in show, not a political show, but just a conversational show. So we'll get to your backgrounds again. I think Greg's been on more than one time.
That's
and
right.
Are you all affiliated with the Moravian Church out down on, what is it, A Street?
Yes, I am. I am.
Okay. And they have something going every Sunday night, once a month. And people are booked for that. You can go down there for $8. You can listen to a mini concert by a performer and get a nice supper. So if you're looking for something to do on Sunday night, there's a place for you. And you're, Greg, you're connected pretty much with that church, aren't you? You preach there?
That's right. I preach once a month.
Once a month? Is that enough?
Well, I really enjoy that.
I would imagine.
We have a lot of fun with different speakers, so there's a nice variety package, which I really enjoy and appreciate.
Your speakers all basically ministers or religious from
around,
leaders?
From around town, yes.
Yeah, that's kind of nice.
We share. Yeah.
All right. And we're going to do some music and all that, but the show just before us on the Jeff Johnson Show had the police chief in along with the paramedic leader here in town associated with the hospital.
I saw that. I thought maybe there was something wrong with it.
Oh, you saw their equipment on here?
That's right.
But they're talking about drugs. First of all, as you can look and see, I'm a lot older than all of you. And when I was a young boy, the drug of choice was a beer. And only people in bands smoked marijuana or Mary Jane, that evil thing.
Sure.
And all we did as kids is maybe smell it and not really even realizing what that was all about. So fortunately, I come from an era where drugs and youth was, you know, non-existent. We had the crazy movies like The Reefer, and I remember as a teenager, Frank Sinatra starred in a show called The Man with the Golden Arm. And I thought it would be like one of the today's movies where they have automatic bodies that can do things and all that. I went to the show and I go, what is this all about? Well, of course, The Man with the Golden Arm was all about a heroin addiction and how much it cost to keep that addiction going and what people would do to get it. So anyhow, I'm wondering, you guys are all younger than me, if you had any friends or any experience with doing drugs in your youth era. Now these kids are killing themselves with fentanyl and other things. So
that's right.
We'll start with the second oldest guy in the studio, and that would, of course, be Craig.
My concern today as far as drug use being how it is today and how it was back in my day when I was a young man is I think there's a much higher risk today. Let's say, for example, somebody smoking marijuana in today's world, what might it be laced with? What might be in there, such as, like I say, something that would bring down an elephant? Well, just think about the danger there. If it brings down an elephant, what it will do to a normal-sized person. So I would be very cautious about how it might have been tampered with just to make it more potent and more powerful and strong. And I would say I would really be aware of that, the general public. I'd be very cautious.
How about when you were grown? What year did you get out of high school?
I got out of high school in 1968.
Oh, that's the Vietnam era.
Yeah, and all I remember is from back then, the biggest thing when I got out of high school growing up in a small town was mostly you know, smoking some regular cigarettes, you know, underage, you're getting by with something. Getting my older brother, bless his soul, to buy me some beer. And that was a big deal, just to, you know, smoke some cigarettes you bought at the local store and drinking some beer and go cruising around in your car. And you're thinking, wow, I'm really getting by with something. And when I think back how foolish that was, sitting behind the wheel, impaired, and then pouring more beer down my throat besides. But, you know, young, and there's something else that goes with young. I don't want to say that on air, but...
What is it? Oh, sex.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'd say a dumb kind of went with me, young and dumb. That, that fit me back in the day. It really did.
Well, did you end up having to go into service, get drafted, 68?
Yeah, got drafted.
Did you end up in Vietnam?
No, I did not. No.
Well,
no.
Good for you. I mean, lucky for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I could not agree more.
So you're
very blessed.
You're 50 years old, right?
Well, I was 50 years old. You did say 50. I was 50 years old 18 years ago.
Oh, you're 68 years
68,
old.
68, yeah. It's just, boy, I just...
I you know how I screwed it up when you said 68, that would be 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And I forgot you had got attack on 18.
We are celebrating our 50-year reunion Labor Day weekend down in Waseca. So we do have a reunion coming up, and we're really excited about it.
I wish you would celebrate it here during Defeated Jesse James days.
Yes. I'm going to be down in Blue Jay. This is Raider country. I'm from Blue Jay country.
Waseca.
Yeah, Waseca Blue Jay country.
That's where the Penny Boys are.
Yep. Exactly.
You know Tim and...
Yes.
Okay. Well, okay, so that was the deal. Back in your high school years, it was beer and cigarettes.
Pretty much. Right. And then a muscle car.
A muscle car.
You know, somebody would have a muscle car, and you get the car and go out there and drive fast and crazy. And hopefully have a date for the night, and if not, you took your buddies along.
All right.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Craig speaking. Let me put a last name there, Craig. I forgot.
Schuster.
Schuster. Okay.
Schuster.
Okay. Schuster. Got it. All right. So the next oldest would be Greg Smith. And Greg, when you That's were right. a kid, what was it like in regards to drugs compared to the way it is today?
Well, Wayne, if you'll let me... bring it up to when I moved to Northfield in 77 is when I think I have a good story about that would fit this morning's topic.
But okay.
I heard the chief of police and the emergency services man, Tex, they were in here talking about, you know, the current incident here in town about the overdoses. And when I came to Northfield, I was 25 years old. And I showed up here in 77, and being a musician, I was smoking pot. That was one of the things that that I did here in Northfield. And I had something happen to me one day when I was out driving around with my friend, and we would go out driving, and we would get high. Yeah. And just, you know, drive around in the countryside here. And one day, this young guy said, I want you to try this. It's really good stuff, you know. So we smoked, and I had the most incredible high experience. I was shocked by the feeling of it. It was so intense, and it was so powerful, and it was so high. And he started laughing, and he said, you know what that is? And I go, what in the world is in this marijuana? And he goes, PCP, which was then called angel dust.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, you just got dusted, brother.
Wasted and dusted.
We were on angel dust, and it was so powerful. This guy dropped me off here downtown in Northfield, and I just went sky high, and it did not go away. I mean, it was just there for a long period of time. I mean, it was not coming down like normally.
Did that make you paranoid or scared?
Well, I'll tell you. I started feeling like I wanted to jump on cars starting down there by the Rubenstein. I thought, hey, this would be really fun to start jumping from car to car to car. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I was planning on doing that. But then I had to go, Greg, this is crazy. Do not start this. Do not do this. I had to talk myself down out of it. But I wanted to jump car to car all the way down by where you are at the hideaway and stuff like that, down the street.
Okay, so to be honest, I personally would love to see that, but I wouldn't want you to do that for safety reasons, of course.
There would have been
that
damage.
That would be like Spider-Man just bouncing along. That would be a sight.
And I really felt I could do it. I could jump from car to car all the way down the block. And I walked down here to Bridge Square. So I was on Bridge Square and just talking myself, tried to calm down, but I was very, very high. And I felt like I could be like Spider-Man, like super dude, right?
Sure.
I got to the bridge here that crosses the river by, you know, Craig works at the barbershop there. So I was right by the barbershop, and I got out on the bridge, and I started looking at the Cannon River, and I thought, wouldn't it be fun to jump off the buildings into the Cannon River? I thought I could fly.
I would not want to see that.
No. I hope somebody would have stopped me when I went car to car, would have got a hold of me and helped me, because I was on my way to trouble. And when I got to the bridge and I was looking at like where Vistendahl's law offices and those buildings, and I thought, oh, I could jump off those buildings and I could just coast onto the water and it would be a beautiful experience. I didn't want to kill myself. I just wanted to fly. And I thought I could do it.
Yeah.
And I had to start telling myself, Greg, you are so out of it right now that this drug has taken over your mind. I was actually measuring the water level in the Cannon River. It was like 6 inches. And I was trying to figure out whether I could safely do this or not, jump off the buildings. And I was debating it. Well, that's what that angel dust did to me. And I didn't know that I was smoking something that was going to do that to me. I got left downtown Northfield by myself. And I didn't know at that time, that would have been 1977, who would I call? Who would I talk to?
Right.
Who would give me help? I didn't know if the police department, if anybody in the police department would help me or would arrest me. I didn't know if I could go to the emergency room. But I wasn't thinking I knew I needed help, but I didn't know who to talk to, where to go. I didn't feel I could stop anybody, that I was on my own by myself. And so I literally for hours wandered around Northfield telling myself that I was going to come down at some point, but it took hours for me to come back to normal.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it fit today.
It almost sounds like something that LSD also did, get into that state of mind where they think they can fly. Art Linkletter's daughter, I think, jumped out the window thinking she could fly and obviously died. That was back in the 70s.
Yeah.
So did you get to graduate and go on to bigger and better drugs?
No, that that taught me a huge lesson. I quit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was like it. I said, if this can happen, like thinking I'm just innocently smoking a little pot, you know, and enjoying music and listening, you know, to beautiful sounds. And then something like that can slip in that was so, I could have been dead or seriously injured if I would have gone ahead and just, you know, started jumping and thought I could fly off a building. I quit. At that point, I said, this is too scary. I have not, touched pot for over 30 years. So I quit.
Well, I guess the pot today is a heck of a lot different than it was back in your day.
Absolutely. And,
And stronger.
Oh, yeah. I guess.
Stronger.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were a day tripper, or was that an evening?
That was a day tripper.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
are you going to play that song now?
No. I was just thinking.
I don't know that song.
That was Greg Smith sharing an experience that he had back in 1977 here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. 26 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock, and we're going to come back in a moment here. We're going to talk to Amber, and we'll do that after we hear some important messages on KYMN.
Mark Patrick Hypnosis is coming to Northfield on March 13th for one day only. Lose weight or stop smoking now through hypnosis. Join the over 500,000 people who have stopped smoking and lost weight the Mark Patrick way. That's right. Join America's best-known hypnotist, Mark Patrick. Weight Loss Hypnosis Seminar is Tuesday, March 13th from 5:30 to 7:30. Stop Smoking Hypnosis Seminar is from 8 to 10 p.m. Both are at the Archer House River Inn at 212 Division Street. Registration starts 30 minutes prior to sessions. Seating is limited, so get there early to reserve your spot. For only $49.99, attend these life-changing programs and learn how the power of hypnosis can help you achieve your goal to lose weight or stop smoking without any willpower. 100% guaranteed. So whether you need to lose weight or want to stop smoking, join Mark Patrick Hypnosis. Tuesday, March 13th at the Archer House River Inn, 212 Division Street South in Northfield. Doors open 30 minutes prior to seminar. Go to markpatrickseminars.com.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
We're back live and in color on the KYMN radio show called The Wayne Eddy Affair. And I got to tell you, it's a beautiful day today. It is plenty of sunshine, and it is a little bit cold. Hopefully, March coming in like a lion will go out like a lamb. Speaking about a lamb, we always like to introduce individuals that are connected to the lamb through the Bible, and we did that with Greg on more than one occasion, but we're not here to talk Bible now. We're here to talk music, and I have three musicians in studio, and we're going to talk to the third one, and that would be Amber.
Hello, yes.
I had an Amber on my show on Monday.
Oh.
And she worked for the Northfield, she's a paramedic.
Oh, fantastic.
And she and her friend Michelle saved me from four strokes I had in one night, and I'm not talking golf. Okay. Now, what's your last name, Amber?
So I'm Amber Miskowitz, and I was on your show about a year and a half ago talking about Hideaway's Christmas dinner.
Oh, yeah.
So we had a lot of fun together.
Yeah.
And it's nice to hear the name Amber. You know, growing up, it was very uncommon. I was the one kid that didn't get the license plate with my name on it. There was Allison's and Jessica's, and I wanted to be all of those. But now I'm hearing Amber more and more frequently, and that's exciting.
Well,
I love it.
Of course, the Amber Alert.
Yeah, I hate being associated with that. It's a little bit tragic, but yes, that's true. You're right.
Are you still at the Hideaway?
I am.
Now, didn't I say that after our interview that now you owe me a cup of coffee?
I do. Come on down.
Okay. All right, Joan and Jim won't get mad.
You know, it'll come out of my slush fund.
Oh.
I promise.
All right. That's good. Well, before we get into the music and let's enjoy our conversation in reference to the brief but very interesting and in-depth report about opioids mm-hmm. here in Northfield and all around the country. Mm. And I asked Greg and I asked Craig about their experience, and you're a lot younger than all of us.
Well, youngish.
What year did you get out of high school?
I graduated in 2000 from Burnsville.
2000.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
Okay, so that would make you born in 1982?
Correct.
All right. So you're just a puppy.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm losing my puppy status, though. I'm turning 36 this summer, so it's getting a little bit real.
Okay. What about back then? Was it called the Braves or the Blaze?
So we had just turned into the Blaze from the Braves. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, for PC and for respect reasons and things. Yeah. So we were the Blaze at that point.
And I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but the first time I ever heard of Burnsville, and I lived on St. Paul's East Side, I think, at the time.
Okay.
And I was listening to an interview with a guy named Rich Rollins. Now, if that name isn't familiar, it is. You know it is, right?
Ah.
Baseball player for the Twins.
Oh, awesome.
And he said that he got a home in Burnsville.
Oh.
And I had no idea where Burnsville was. And then I had a reason to go over to Burnsville, or through it, or whatever it was. And it was all, you know, dirt roads. And
it was.
I mean, it was today. I mean, it's...
Oh,
it's
huge.
Yeah.
Sprawling. And I lived in Savage and went to Burnsville schools. So we were part of that big suburban sprawl of the early 90s when everybody was building into farmland and things like that. So when I first moved to Savage, 42 there was a dirt road.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of that the other day. Have you ever traveled up to Apple Valley on Cedar?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I remember coming back from Viking games on Cedar Avenue.
Oh, wow.
And way out in the country was a place called the Old Piper Inn, which is a pizza place on the east side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And eventually they started one right here in Northfield in the mall down there. But the point of it is now the building out from that out in the country place is it just amazes me.
I know it.
Land is worth so much money.
It sure is.
Cafe.
We keep spreading.
What is Cafe du Nord or whatever that is?
Oh, my mug. Okay, so well, I have a tumbler here that I got as a souvenir from Cafe du Monde, and that is in New Orleans. Famous beignets, and cafe au lait. So if you're ever in New Orleans, it's right outside.
Famous
of
what?
Beignets. Have you ever had a beignet?
I have no idea.
It's like a little fried donut rolled around in powdered sugar.
Sounds
and
good.
Warm and fresh, and you stand in line for quite some time. This is a world famous, iconic place in the heart of the French Quarter.
They're like the mini donuts, except that they're all one solid piece.
That's right. They're kind of square shaped.
Yeah.
Oh, like little pillows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, they're very good. So this is a souvenir, one of many that I collected when I was down there, and that was a couple of years ago. Wonderful city, full of music.
I've been there several times.
Oh, yes.
And the thing that amazed me, my wife and I went down there on the motorcycle.
Oh, fun.
And we got across that bridge, that long bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the name. But anyhow, we toured the quarters at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And it stunk.
Yeah.
And it was dirty. And the roads weren't wide enough. Trucks would drive up on the sidewalks. But I've been there also at night.
And, a little different.
Had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Speaking about having a lot of fun. Now, we were going to ask you, Amber, what the... what it was like in Burnsville when you were a kid growing up and drinking beer and smoking dope, or what was going on in your era?
Well, honestly, I kind of had a sheltered upbringing when I was in high school. I was pretty good. Most of my friends were just, you know, maybe some cigarettes was kind of the big thing. You know, I wasn't really much of a drinker or anything like that. So I surrounded myself with some good friends who really didn't partake in that either. I was so busy with, you know, extracurricular sports and band and things like that, that I really didn't have the opportunity or really the interest to get involved in anything like that. You know, college was obviously very eye-opening beyond that. But my high school experience, things were pretty, you know, pretty similar to probably your upbringing as far as, you know, just going out and having fun with your friends, and you know, maybe you'd sneak a cigarette underneath the stand during a football game or something like that. You know, I was the youngest of my class too, so all of my friends turning 18 could go and get cigarettes and go to the casino and things like that, and I was kind of left behind. So, and that might have been a blessing in disguise in a lot of ways too.
Yeah, I think so. I can't imagine my era of going to a casino at 18. You know, I mean, you could get pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to cough, so you have to.
I will pick it up from there. But absolutely. So high school for me was very subtle and very non-eventful when it came to drugs and things like that. It wasn't until college that I was exposed to more of the alcohol and cannabis scene. And like I said, I was never really big into drinking. I would see my friends binge drink, and I did not care for the hangover. I didn't care for getting sick. I had one friend, hospitalized with, you know, alcohol poisoning and things like that. So that really wasn't my scene. For me, it was much more cannabis. To me, it was like, that's kind of my generation's viewpoint of it, is it's safer. And I never, fortunately, had any experience with lacing of that. We were always kind of very careful about who and what and where sources and things like that. And, you know, you'd have a friend who had a pot plant in their closet or something, so you know it was okay. You know, so we kind of had a much more accepting, just kind of an acceptance of perspective of cannabis. And, you know, honestly, I don't recall any friends trying anything harder, so I wasn't exposed to anything much more than just that. And alcohol wasn't my gig. I wanted to show up for class, and I wanted to be sober and straight and without a headache. And so, you know, in the evenings, doing studies or reading or listening to music, maybe there was a little bit of you know, pot passing. But other than that, that was about it. I would still be able to go to my classes and, you know, not have an issue. And so I think in my perspective, it was just much safer and much more accepted.
Well, the attitude nowadays has changed considerably.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah,
of course, you can go to Colorado and a couple other states and walk in, buy, and walk out. And
yeah. I mean, they treat it like alcohol or tobacco. Yeah. It's very much regulated, and but it's accessible. And the attitude has changed. And we know, too, you know, from studies and from experiences that marijuana itself is not as scary as they made it out to be during, you know, Reefer Madness and things like that. And it is a lot more potent now. That's true. So a little bit goes a long way in that sense. But, you know, I'm a mother of three, so those days are kind of behind me as well. But But it is acceptable, or it's more accepted, and I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I know from personal experience, at least seeing, you know, my family members struggle with substance abuse as far as alcohol and things like that is so much more, risky. And I've seen their physical health affected, and I've seen them, you know, have brushes with the law and things like that. So in my mind, I guess it's, those are the things that scare me. Alcohol is, I think, a little more, you know, to me, it's more dangerous, or, you know, or can really hurt you, or of course, you know, some of the opioids and things like that. I've known by proxy people who have started off innocently with painkillers, and that's how these things kind of snowball into, okay, well, I can't get my pills anymore, so now I'm going to switch to heroin so I can still maintain that high. And fortunately, I have never had to tread down that road and just, you know, sadly witness it from a distance, but it's
well,
scary.
I recall seeing movies where people were coming off of heroin,
sure.
And they would feel bugs on them and pick at themselves,
yeah.
And all that.
Oh, yeah.
And I always thought, oh, that's such a dumb exaggeration. And it turns out it isn't.
It's not.
Now, I've had my experience with fentanyl.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And I had some surgery. And when we were talking with the doctor, two people had died, Michael Jackson,
mm-hmm.
And who was the other one?
Well, Prince.
Prince,
had
yeah.
A fentanyl
okay.
overdose,
and
yeah.
It was right after Prince OD'd
yeah.
on it.
Yeah.
And so I'm in the operating room, and I says, I would prefer fentanyl. And I also knew a guy that was a anesthesiologist,
mm-hmm.
And he got hooked on it. And he, of course, lost his license and his
yeah.
wife and
oh, yeah.
all that
it'll
stuff.
Ruin your life.
And he said that he used to get off of work, he'd steal it from work, and then he would stop in a park, shoot up, and then wake up, and then go home.
Oh.
And I'm going, well, that seems kind of dumb. Well, what happened to me was when I said fentanyl, they asked why. I said, because I want to understand what Jackson and Prince went through. Well, I don't know what they did, but if they did do that, I'll tell you what it's like.
Yeah.
Number one, you're gone.
Hmm.
That's it. You're gone. And they do the surgery on that. And then when I was coming out, it was very vivid on what I was seeing. And I was seeing a whole bunch of airplanes in the Faribault, Rice County Fairgrounds.
Oh, wow.
And then I'll make this story short. Then I looked the other way, and there were a bunch of Raiders. I used to ride with the gang.
Yep.
And they all had white hats, white gloves, white shirts, white dusters, white boots, and white horses.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And then we were going up to the St. Paul Winter Carnival, and we're going to go through there. Well, one of the things they wanted to do was rush in a buggy wagon with Charlie Pitt on the back of it, who was captured down in Medallia. And I said, well, I can do that because I got this prosthesis and it can bend backwards and we can shoot blood out of it. And it will really impress the crowd. So we rode in and we did that. And then as we were going through downtown St. Paul, they were shooting screen. They had screens like they do on buildings.
Sure.
And it had all the makings of Northfield and the Historical Society and all that. And I went around the corner, and there were hundreds of people on white horses and white shoes.
Wow.
And they go, wow, holy cow.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm laying on the surgical board
yeah.
or whatever, because they had to hold my head and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like, oh. That was something.
Wow, what a trip!
They said there are no planes and white horses. So
oh
I might
goodness.
Have been describing them.
You must have.
But I thought, wow.
Well, and you know, I mean, I guess being of that kind of fame and what they had to go through, you know, in their you know physically and everything else, I suppose they needed something like that to escape their reality for whatever reason. And you certainly can on something like that. I mean, I had my experience a little bit with oxycodone because I had surgeries too in the past. And so now I know that anytime it's offered, I have to decline because you don't go out. You certainly don't go with the white horses or anything like that. But
no.
You certainly feel no pain. To the point where I can see
one
where,
pill or two pill or
yeah, I think my prescription was one pill, but okay. I do recall asking for refills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean I can see how that starts the ball rolling.
That's oxycodone.
That's correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, which is an opioid. So it is powerful stuff, and I know that a lot of these addictions start very innocently with something like a wisdom tooth removal, and you know then you get hooked. And
I had. During one of the raid reenactments, I caught on fire. I'll make a long story short. I ended up at the Northfield Hospital, and they took care of...
I think I heard that.
No, this one was a motorcycle accident with another guy, and we really got beat up more than we thought we had. And we weren't drinking or anything. He was on the back of my motorcycle. It was after June Dairy days.
Okay.
Walked into the Rubenstein after the ride and picked up the motorcycle, and Danny Freeman, the late Dan Freeman, turned around, told the bartender, call the hospital. This guy, we're bringing up a couple of guys. We had blood all over us. We didn't even know. I mean, we got, what do you call it, whatever. So the end of the story is that they sent us home after stitching us up and all that stuff, and they gave us Vicodin. And I remember sitting on the chair. Because I had road rash on my buttocks and back and all that, and thinking, man, you know, this really hurts, but I'm not taking this drug. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tough it out. Mm-hmm. The second night, I took the pill because I wanted to lay down and sleep, and here's what happened. Here's what happened. I took the pill, waited, went into the bedroom, pulled the sheets back. It was summertime. Laid down, and it hurt like hell, but I didn't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
This is hurting, but I really don't care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I suppose we better take a break. We got to get into your music. We're having a good time here this morning with Amber, Craig, and Greg. And they are the No Name Band, and they're going to do some music for us here on Kim, a friend you can count on.
Today is International Women's Day, and Judy's Floral Design is honoring this day by offering a free flower to every woman stopping in to celebrate with them. But age has no boundary on this special day, so in addition to stopping in for your free flower, Judy and her awesome staff will be at each of the assisted living communities throughout the day, giving a flower to each woman they meet. Because whether it's International Women's Day or any day, honor, respect, and love translate so beautifully with flowers.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday at the Ames Arena in Lakeville, off Highway 50 in Apava. See up to 150 home improvement experts. The Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday only in Lakeville. It's the smart place to start your next home improvement project. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
We're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. I don't know, this is the No Name Band. It consists of five people, two men and three women. And Amber is here, and Craig and Greg are here. So they're going to give us some music. And who will be the lead intro and all of the various things that are going on? We have a microphone there. We have a microphone right there. And we got you mic'd over there. So who wants to do the intro?
Well, Wayne, I wanted to show you. Am I on now?
Yeah.
Can you hear yourself? This is the first album that Peter, Paul, and Mary, I think, released. And this was the music that I grew up with and learned how to play. The neighbors would all get together. We'd sit in people's front yards, and we'd teach each other the songs. So I didn't take any music classes. We taught each other in the neighborhood how to play guitar and exchange music. So this was the first album I think they released, and then I grew up with that and loved that music. So we're going to do a Bob Dylan song, Blowing in the Wind, that captures the spirit of, you know, we felt we could change the world, like Amber has on her arm here, be the change, right?
I'm sure.
We wanted to be the change in the world.
Yeah.
Well, it isn't on this album. What do
no,
I do?
But it's the same feeling.
Okay.
It's that feeling.
I see.
And they did Bob Dylan music.
500 Miles is one on this. And Lemon Tree, If I Had a Hammer.
Yeah.
And Where Have All the Flowers Gone? I recognize all those.
You guys going to sing from there?
Yeah. How many roads must a man walk down before I am a man?
Yes, and how many
seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand?
Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and
how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free?
Yes, and
how many times can a man turn his head
and pretend that he
doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many times must a man look up before he can see
Thank you very much. The No Name Band on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, a friend you can count on. 1080 on your AM dial now for nearly 50 years and now 95.1 FM. The One. At 10 minutes before 10 o'clock, we are listening to music here this morning. And he hands me an album, Peter, Paul, and Mary, and sings what's his name? Bob Dylan song. Are you big fans of Bob Dylan? I'm not.
I'm with you there. I think he's a great songwriter. I don't care for his style of singing. His vocals is a little bit, to me, I don't know. I guess I'm one of those.
I had somebody on the other day, and I said, I like Lay Lady Lay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cross my big brass bed. I like that song.
The times they are changing.
Oh, my God.
That's one of my favorites.
Okay. Well, do you do any of the Peter, Paul, and Mary songs? Any one of these on the album, Mr. Smith? Do you do any of those? Because I recognize over half of them.
We haven't worked on these songs yet, but I did bring this train, the music for this train.
Okay.
We could do that one probably in a little bit.
You can do whatever you want.
Okay.
Whatever you want. What are you going to do next?
Craig's got a Elvis song from 1962 here. He's going to lead a song that when we sing and do this number in public, people will stop. Whatever they're doing, they'll stop in their tracks. they'll look at us, and you can just see it in their eyes that this song has had so much meaning somewhere in their life. And the words start out here, wise men say, only fools rush in. Can't help falling, right?
I know that one.
This song goes out to Kathy Schuster, who I have been with for 45 years. This is for you, Kathy, and I know you're listening.
Oh, Kathy, isn't that nice?
No-name
band on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. Good morning, everybody. We'll be back with more right after this important time out, because that's what a wise man told me.
All right, America. H&R Block has some good news. For a limited time only, you could get a refund advance loan of up to $3,000 the same day you file at Block. That's right. You could get up to $3,000 today. No interest. Told you it was good news. To learn more or find participating locations near you, visit hrblock.com. Get your taxes won. Optional tax refund related loan from BofI Federal Bank. Not your tax refund. $500, $750, $1,250, or $3,000 loans offered. Approval and loan amount based on expected refund and other conditions. Funds loaded on prepaid card. Tax returns may be e-filed without applying for this loan. Fees for other products or features may apply.
H&R Block, 1300 Bolenbacher Drive in Northfield. Open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 5. Walk-ins are welcome or call 645-6281 for an appointment.
Hi, this is Lucy. Here at Anna's Closet, we've got everything to fit your needs, no matter what they may be. Do you love to shop? So do we. We can give you personalized help to make shopping even more fun for you. Do you hate to shop? We've got you covered. Tell us what you need and we'll lead you right to it in no time. We at Anna's Closet think shopping should be a breeze either way. So come check us out at Anna's Closet in beautiful downtown Northfield, where if you are confident, you are beautiful.
So, Wayne, we're going to do a song from 1954, Fly Me to the Moon. Oh. And, yeah, maybe you remember this one. And what was so interesting about it, I think, is that it is described as a bossa nova. So the new sound that was coming in, bossa nova from South America and Latin sound, this song was a good example of it. So this is Amber's song. She loves this one. And Craig's going to do percussion.
And it is a Frank Sinatra song.
That's right. Man with Golden Arm.
And Tony Bennett did it. And Fly Me to the Moon.
That's right. Da, yeah. Da, da, da.
Okay.
And Wayne's going to join us, I think.
No. The No Name Band.
other words, please be true. Oh, in other words, I love you.
Cha cha cha. All right, Fly Me to the Moon, in other words, I Love You, is sung by Amber Miskowitz, and she is the manager at the Hideaway, is
That's
it?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, and having a lot of fun here this morning on KYMN Radio, 1080 on your AM dial for nearly 50 years, and now 95.1 FM, the one from Northfield. We'll be back right after the news on the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Florida approves. Trump denies. I'm Christopher Cruz. A gun control bill approved by the Florida State Legislature now heads to the governor for signature or veto. After barely getting through the Senate, the House approved the bill 67 to 50. It increases the minimum age to buy a gun from 18 to 21 and puts in place a three-day waiting period on most gun purchases. Republican Governor Rick Scott has not said what he will do with the bill. The White House says President Trump continues to deny that he had an affair with adult film performer Stormy Daniels. Her attorney, Michael Avenatti, says Daniels is being pressured to keep quiet about the alleged affair, and that's why Daniels is suing the president.
Our position is we don't even belong in arbitration. This matter belongs on a court of law, a public court of law, a court of law owned by the people and open to the public. That's why we filed the matter in a court of law.
The New York Times is reporting that Special Counsel Robert Mueller has learned of two conversations where President Trump asked witnesses about matters discussed in the Russia investigation. Times reporter Maggie Haberman.
Basically, in one conversation with Reince Priebus back in December at a lunch in the West Wing with John Kelly, the current chief of staff present, the president raised the topic of Reince Priebus' appearance before Bob Mueller's investigators and asked essentially if they were nice. And Priebus said yes, they were nice and professional. Trump raised a generic, you know, did they ask about, you know, what's in the news?
The second major storm in less than a week is moving up the East Coast, correspondent Oscar Jimenez in Worcester, Massachusetts.
The dig out and the cleanup that is usually associated with one Easter, nor'easter from last weekend, is now compounded with a second one, making it into just essentially a week and a half long event. And that is what becomes different and makes things a little bit more significant when it comes even to the natives from this part of the country.
Hundreds of thousands are without power this morning. I'm Christopher Cruz.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I've been out till quarter to three, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Bum, bum. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on this Thursday morning. And it is March 8th in the year is 2018. And the sun is shining high above, and we're having a good time in the studio. We've got three members of the No Name Band, and they don't sell steaks. They like to have fun and sing along. Whoops, I got to push your buttons here. What?
I'm just laughing at you.
Oh, okay. Well, I like that. So we have Amber here, Miskowitz.
Hey.
Did I say that correctly?
You did.
Okay. And we have Craig Schuster here. And hi, Craig. And we also have, you can move the microphone over if you, or you're going to sing together. You can move back when you want to do that. But in the meantime, I want to chew the fat for a while.
Oh, yeah, okay. That sounds great. Okay.
You know, you don't have to play music nonstop. And
well, I appreciate that. I've got a cold. Can you imagine of all mornings to wake up with a cold?
Yes, I can tell.
I tell you. That's fate for you.
But you're still pleasant.
Thank you.
Greg Smith is here.
Yep.
Greg, your guitar playing has improved since I first had you on the air.
I've been playing a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm happy to hear that.
Cool.
Literally.
I'm playing the best in my whole life. I'm 66.
You are.
And I'm playing the best I've ever played guitar in my whole life. So things are going up.
Well, that's
music
good.
Wise.
That's awesome.
That's good. Well, you mentioned that there are two other women that will be established once you get a name for your band. And who are the two other women?
My wife, Kathy Schuster. Kathy does, like I say, pretty much most of our percussion. And she is an absolute natural for rhythm, beat, just having it's just built right into her. It just comes naturally.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Well, I want you to lift up these, whatever they're called,
little
castanets.
Maracas.
What are they called?
Little maracas.
They're shakers.
Shakers.
Well, you, you were tuned. I want to hear them because I couldn't hear them when she was singing.
Oh,
I noticed
well,
you were
like
keeping
say,
a beat with them, but I couldn't hear them.
Wayne, like I was saying, if Kathy was here doing this, it would sound a lot better than me doing it because she's a natural. I'm not. But today, I'm going to have fun. And she just said, a one, two, three, four, a one, two, three, four. We were going through this last night. Craig, just remember to count. A one, two, three, four. But she forgets. I've never been very good at mathematics or counting. So
well, you're in good
but,
company.
But we practice, didn't we, Kathy?
Oh, I can hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's because I'm using the microphone.
Sweet.
One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three,
four. You got
four.
It,
Wayne. Five, six, seven, eight. Okay. Now, what is this thing here that somebody brought?
Isn't that beautiful?
You know, I thought yeah. these were easy. Mm-hmm. You know, and I tried them once with a band that I knew, and they let me, you know, participate. And
yeah, that's my green tambourine, Wayne.
I want you to do some belly dancing.
Come on, things are getting wild down here at the station,
I was gonna say,
people.
Wait a minute,
Wayne.
I've got the belly part.
That green tambourine is not autographed by the Lemon Pipers. Yeah. It's not. I wish it was.
And the Lemon Pipers are...
Would have been the band back in the 60s that came up with the song.
Remember that song?
Green Tambourine.
Yep.
The green Lemon tambourine. Pipers.
How does that go?
Yeah.
It sounds like I should...
Bet you could find it on your computer. Listen while I play my green tambourine.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Listen while
see,
I play.
See, the thing with jamming with these guys is being the youngest, all of these songs, I mean, not all of them, but a lot of these songs are before my time. So yeah. I'm learning all of these things and all of these facts as we go along. So
that's fun, isn't it?
Amber's
it
going to keep
it's
us
open in my world.
Yeah, connected with, you know, this generation of music that's coming up. And I think a lot of the great musicians like Carlos Santana, what I notice about them is that they bring in the youthful, you know, musicians, younger players, and they stay with the what's happening.
Yeah.
So it's the old school and the new school.
Oh, you know, that could be a band.
I think it's great.
That could be a band name.
And what is the other name of the other lady that's in there? We have Kathy Schuster.
And Carla Schroeder.
Carla Schroeder.
And she used to work at the quarterback club, she said.
Okay.
Yeah. And Carla and I were members of the Boomerangs back from 92 to 98 in Northfield. Carla sang in the Boomerangs also back when Bill McGrath got the Boomerang started back in 1992.
Well, I'll tell you what, the number of musicians in this community is many, and how they shift in and out playing with each other or different gigs on the same night. And it's just fine that I've got a fellow by the name of John... I can't say his last name without screwing it up. Wiscox. Did I say it right?
Hiscox.
Hiscox.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's my
music director.
He's my music director now. He was in here one day and we were having a great conversation, and he was talking about all these bands. And I said, hey, why don't you be my music director? And so he's the one that lined up your appearance on the Wayne Eddy Affair today. Yep. And some of it music, some of it conversation. We started off having an in-depth conversation in regards to a thing that's happening within our community in regards to unfortunate use of drugs.
Yeah.
And so we'll switch from that to the music. We did the music, and now it's back to conversation. And do you have anything you want to get off your chest, talk about? Not necessarily political, but, you know, just... observations.
I gotta say though, I mean, you know, in spite of the drugs and some of those bad news things, Northfield feels like it's just thriving right now, and I think there's a lot of good things that are happening in our community as well. And like you said, we've got a lot of musicians and a lot of talent coming out of Northfield, and the downtown community is, because I work downtown, feels like it's very close knit and positive. So I like to focus on things like that. There's a lot of good things that are happening in town as well. So we're growing. We've got the Armory now. You know, you talked about seeing music or going to music on Sunday nights and things like that in various venues around town. And the Armory has become one of our newest music venues that you can enjoy music at too. And the brewery is right there. And so that's a really fun location. So you guys should check it out too. I know they do concert mm-hmm. series and things there. The library is another great place since we had the remodel. It's so beautiful in there.
It's wonderful.
And we yeah. sang there a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. a few weeks ago. And
our first public sing.
Yeah, yeah.
What does that mean, your first public singing?
We've never been out in public.
No,
We've yeah. been rehearsing at yeah. the Hotspot music venue right down there at 8th and Division.
Yep. That's kind of
with
a
Martha.
Cool place, yeah.
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 And nice. So we've been practicing. But this was like our first public appearance was at the library.
At the library.
Yeah. It's a
Who booked you?
Well, the library started a music series last year with noon concerts for a month. And so we got invited to their noon concert series during the month of February. We were the fourth one to appear, and it's in that beautiful atrium.
Mm-hmm. Was that last month or a year ago last month?
Well, we actually played just at the end of February this year.
We did,
just,
yeah.
Just, run,
yeah,
know,
we just did
two
that.
Weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah,
but this is their second series that they've done.
Okay.
And it's actually, I think it's a wonderful experience there because the sound in that atrium is very sweet, it's rich, and people are actually sitting and listening and paying attention, and I really like it.
Yeah, we had a captive audience. It was really
I really
good.
Like
We're
it.
We're all five of you there at the
yes.
time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So you had a little more oomph, I suppose.
That's right, yeah.
What's your signature song? Who's a leader, number one, of the no-name band?
Well, I would consider Greg Smith to be our ringleader in charge. Yeah, mm-hmm. He organizes us and gets us.
Try to organize.
I kind of assumed that you were the mm-hmm. leader. So what are you going to do about the name?
I'm just leaving it open for people to make all kind of suggestions and see what feels right, because we keep adding people. You know, it
true.
Just kind of keeps changing. And we're kind of forming an identity, slowly but surely. So for me, I have patience and time, and I enjoy hearing what people are saying with ideas, so I don't really feel a lot of pressure about it. I think it's fun.
So Tri-Dub wouldn't work, because I thought of Tri, three women, Dub, two men, but you're evolving, and it could change, so we'll just throw that one out.
This fun new guy, you know, the Steve McClune, mm-hmm. Might be joining us, and yes. he has an incredible voice.
Yeah, he's amazing.
An amazing singer, high-end.
Yeah, good performer.
And he has moves
like Jagger.
Like those. Like, he's got dance moves. This guy's
he does.
Got tons of energy.
He does.
So he's an energizer bunny.
Oh.
He's a Waseca boy too. He lives
right.
in Northeast Minneapolis.
Right.
And Steve's background in music. He started when he was 11 years old with a band called Danny and the Lions. And Steve is now 65, and they just had a farewell tour in December down in Rochester with a band called Judd, J-U-D-D.
Mm-hmm.
And while Steve and his Rochester buddies had the band Judd, they went out and they did tour for a while, and they opened up a few times for REO Speedwagon, Judd did. And Steve's reputation in the music world, he's in the Hall of Fame in the upper Midwest in five different states. And you mentioned Steve McClune, and I'll tell you what, he's well known. His sister, Fast Annie, there's a song called Magnet and Steel by Walter Egan from the 70s. His sister, Fast Annie, was one of the singers on that, and they now have their own recording studio in Winona, Minnesota. And we hope to be taking a road trip to check out the recording studio in Winona, Steve's older sister, Annie.
Yep.
So has he written music for ASCAP or BMI?
He's Wayne, he is, when I take a look at all, I've got about five or six of his CDs, and he has written most of the music himself. He's also written music with a lead guitarist by the name of Tom Williams, who is just tremendous, Dick Shopto, a bass player. So Steve has written most of his material, and Stevie told me that his best stuff, when he writes, comes out within a half hour or less where he'll lay some words down, and he said his best songs are something that comes quick. He lays it down quick, and then goes to sing it. He said that's what works best for him.
Well, it's 14 minutes after 10 o'clock, and we'll be doing some more music here before 11 for sure. I got to ask you again. I know I had you on my show as a guest in the past a while ago, but you're a barber.
Yes.
And where is your barbershop?
I work down here at Bridge Square, which was formerly owned by David Donauer, a young man by the name of Adam Favreau. He's from Faribault. He bought the barbershop a year and a half ago from Buzz Cummins. That barbershop has over a 100-year history down there in that same location. I think there's been maybe 6 to 8 barbers there over a period of 100 years. And I might add, Adam, my employer is 41 years younger than me, and I just love it. He makes it so nice for me. I look forward to working with him part-time. I had 2 favors to ask of him. If we could play 60s music at the barbershop, you can. If I can have a lava light, he said you can. But he told me you will not burn incense in the barbershop.
All right.
And Adam is a wonderful man. He's got a great business going down there, and I am thrilled to have a boss.
How long have you been there?
I've been there probably 8 to 10 years. I've been a barber for 38 years. So,
well, who was the one that had the fishing lure collection or fishing equipment?
Wayne, I'm not too sure who that might have been because I know I don't think it was David Donauer.
How long had David Donauer been there?
David probably, I want to say, had that barbershop from the late 60s up until probably 7 to 8 years ago. A good long, a long time.
Yeah.
A long time.
I remember going in there when I had hair. Mm-hmm. And then I remember going in there when I had him remove all of my hair because it was spotty, alopecia areata.
Exactly.
And so anyhow, I wanted to interview David, and I think I asked him, and I think he turned me down. And I was thinking, wow, it was right about the time he retired or sold the shop, and he'd have a ton of stories, a ton.
Oh, you know,
the last barber shop in Northfield after, unfortunately, Jerry passed away.
Jerry Fink.
Yeah.
Yes.
But when I first came to town, there was Brick Square Barber Shop, Jerry Fink.
There was a Benson.
Yeah. I remember him.
And there was an Al Winkles.
That's right.
I bought Al Winkles' old barber shop.
Right across the street here, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then there was another one. The man died
quite...
Al Sevchik. Yeah. When I came here in 1990 and opened up my barbershop, there were 5 or 6 barbershops. There's one left.
Yeah. And, of course, I came in 68, and that's where everybody was doing like you do now, and that's grow their hair long.
Absolutely, with the ponytail,
were you in the little one where it says Award Center?
No, Wayne, I was right across the bridge, right next to the Eagles Club, right next to Ames Mill.
Okay.
And I bought that from Al Winkles, and then I was in there till probably the middle of 1993, and it didn't work out for me owning a business, running a business. I'm much happier working for somebody else. For me to own a business, I learned from owning a business, it's not quite what you think it is until you go do it yourself. It's a lesson that I learned. And it's not what it's cracked up to be. It wasn't for me.
Okay, well, what part didn't you like?
The part I really didn't like in the 3.5 years I worked at the barber shop, I liked the trade itself, but I would hear people talking about long weekends, vacations, and in 3.5 years' time, I never took a vacation, never went nowhere, never did nothing. And I just decided I want to go somewhere, too, with my wife, and enjoy her company. I don't want to have to eat, sleep, and take the barbershop home with me. I wasn't willing to do that, and I'm not willing to do that with any kind of a business. I want to let it go.
I like to tell the story. One Sunday morning, I was coming home from the radio station studios were under the tower back then. Mm-hmm. And a fellow from the Northfield Variety Store right next to the First National Bank, it's not there anymore, was outside sweeping the sidewalk. And I pulled over and walked up to him and said, "How you doing? Nice weather we're having." And I said, "Boy," I said, "isn't it great owning your own business? You can get out on a Sunday and sweep the sidewalk, and you don't even have to pay overtime." And that's the way it is when you own a business. It's almost 24/7.
Yeah, you're
it is.
Yeah.
19 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. I have three people in studio. They include Amber and Greg and Craig. Not here with the No Name Band is Kathy. Not here would be Kathy Schuster and Carla Schroeder, who is a fantastic... No, wait a minute. Kathy is a fantastic beat person.
She is. She's got rhythm and soul.
I've got rhythm.
Oh, yeah.
I got music.
Who could ask for anything more?
I know Kathy's listening.
We need to take a break, and we'll be back and continue our conversation. You guys want to get ready to do a song when
sure.
we come back from the break?
All
Let's right, we'll turn off your mic so you can talk to one another. And here is the message.
If you're struggling with weight and frustrated with dieting each and every year, Mark Patrick Hypnosis can help. Join the over 500,000 people who have attended Mark Patrick Hypnosis programs with weight loss results. Mark Patrick Hypnosis will be in Northfield on Tuesday, March 13th. Make that New Year's resolution a reality.
You know, my goal is to lose 30, so I lost, you know, actually more than I ever thought I would.
I can exercise. I am happy with myself. I'm happy with others. But it just changed my life totally around. It was just my last ray of hope.
As of today, I have already lost 48 pounds.
I've lost about 32 pounds.
For only $49.99, lose all the weight you want, 100% guaranteed. Tuesday, March 13th at the Archer House River Inn at 212 Division Street in Northfield. Seminar time is 5:30 to 7:30. Registration begins at 5 p.m. Attend this program and find out how the power of hypnosis can help you achieve your weight loss goals. There's limited seating, so get there early. Learn more at markpatrickseminars.com.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday at the Ames Arena in Lakeville, off Highway 50 in Apava. See up to 150 home improvement experts. The Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday only in Lakeville. It's the smart place to start your next home improvement project. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
Twin Cities, get ready for WWE Live's Road to WrestleMania. Friday night, March 9th at Target Center. Universal Champion Brock Lesnar returns home for a champion versus champion match with Intercontinental Champion The Miz. Plus, you'll see Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Braun Strowman, and more. Don't wait. Great seats are available now at the box office and TargetCenter.com.
We're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, 22 minutes after 10 o'clock. Greg Smith, why don't you introduce what you and Craig and Amber are going to do?
Well, this song goes back to about 1968, and I was living up in the Robbinsdale, you know, New Hope area. When I was in high school, I was very much like Amber. I was I studied all the time, and I was very serious on National Honor, and those were, you know, my interests and concerns. And I was going to Robbinsdale High School, 10th grade. I was in orchestra. I played the viola in orchestra. So we were the coolest kids in school. You know how that goes? But I was at Robbinsdale, and I read that the Animals, this group that I loved, was going to be playing at a high school in our community. Cooper Senior High was going to have the Animals. This was 68. I don't know how that ever happened, but I switched schools in order to hear the Animals play. You had to be a student. You had to be an enrolled student. I quit at Robbinsdale Senior High and went to Cooper in order to hear the Animals in person. And I stood right up in front. I'm sure I've got, you know, some of my hearing loss now is because I'm standing right in front of the amps that they had, right?
What year in high school
this
were you?
This is 68. And I was, you know, going into 11th grade.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they played at Cooper. I was standing right up in front, and I watched how they played this song, House of the Rising Sun. and it was a big hit. It's a folk type of song, but they, you know, rocked it, and I watched how they played it. So I do it the way the animals did it, and I just was right up in front. I was as close as this to them.
All right, then.
So we're going to do it.
Okay, yeah. And guess what? Okay. I got a story about House of the Rising Sun after you're done, okay. Ladies and gentlemen. Yes, indeed. Thank you very much for the House of the Rising Sun.
In New Orleans, they call the rising sun. And it's been the ruin of many a poor boy. In God, I know I'm one.
The Animals on the Wayne Eddy Affair and the Sub-Animals in studio with me this morning. I'm KYMN.
Whoa.
Well, what is it?
I like that name. All right.
So, you know, the year 1968 is the year that KYMN Radio went on the air, September 27th, and the Miss Northfield pageant was being held.
Miss Northfield? I didn't know that was such a thing.
Well, here's the deal. The Northfield JCs owned the Miss Northfield pageant. The Miss Northfield pageant then would go to the Miss Minnesota pageant.
Oh, I see.
And then the Miss Minnesota pageant went to the Miss America pageant, which owned the franchise.
Gotcha.
Okay. You get it now?
I'm following. Okay. Yep. I'm learning a lot today, you guys. Learning a lot about these guys. I had no idea. Yeah, Fast Hammer. And the Slow Pokes.
You're a slow poke. So anyhow, so you understand that it's a business, you know, Miss America.
Yeah.
Okay, and today, by the way, we have Miss Defeated Jesse James Day's ambassador.
Right. Well, yes, you know, because I do, and I know a couple ambassadors. Yeah. Yeah. Sarah Spaulding, Elizabeth Spaulding, yeah. Vanessa Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Devin.
And, of course, mm-hmm. 2 years back-to-back, they became Aquitennial.
They were. Yeah, Miss Vanessa, we were so proud of her. Yeah. They all came from the Hideaway.
I was shocked, yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
80, I mean, they never had done that 2 years back-to-back in mm-hmm. 87 years. Were the
like same. I said, we've got a lot of talent in Northfield.
Yeah. So, anyhow, getting back to the Miss Northfield pageant, I was there at the high school. I'm just joining the community with the radio station and all that. And the MC was, I don't know if you guys will remember, but Bill Carlson from WCCO Radio.
He was
the entertainment editor at WCCO Television and Radio. And he was the MC. And the girl that won the talent sang House of the Rising Sun.
Ooh, goodness. There you go. Yeah.
So
that was pretty brave.
There you go.
Yeah, it was, because everybody else doing Broadway tunes and all that.
Sure. Sure.
But I thought, I was a disc jockey before that in Austin, and we played Hot Records and The Animals, House of the Rising Sun. You queued up ready to go, and you fall asleep, you know. It's 10:30 on 1080 Radio, KYMN from Northfield, Minnesota, the home of Cows, Colleges, and Contentment in the No Name Band. And let's reminisce some more. I was I speaking to you last, or let's get we were getting to you, I think, right?
Well, we did. We talked.
I'm trying to. We can't fill it all with music, so you know.
That's good. I'll give my voice a rest.
So I'm trying to put a little conversation in it.
That's good.
You have the. You seem to be one of the most pleasant people I've ever met.
Thanks, Wayne. Yeah. I appreciate
that. Is that all real?
That's me. Okay. This is the total package.
Why are you so happy?
I don't know.
I want some of that.
Life is good. I don't know. Yeah, thank you. No, I'm just, you know, I mean, I have my moments. Sure, my kids can attest to that. So can my family. I pull my energy from other people, and I surround myself with good people. So I say that I'm just kind of a product of everybody's good vibes. And I don't know. I think life can make you a cynic if you think on it and dwell on it too much. There's so much sadness and hate and, you know, in the world and things like that. So it's good to be a bright spot. I think it's good to be an optimist, even if it's painful sometimes. But that's just who I am. Oh, and I have a lot of caffeine running through the system, too. Okay. That does help. That does help. there are perks to my business.
What do they? Of course, I know Joe and Jim real well.
The Spaulding family. Mm-hmm.
And do they have like a day manager and a night manager, or a manager that manages an assistant manager?
How does the structure work?
Yeah, where do you fit in?
Yeah, I work directly under them, so I would be considered a general manager.
Okay.
We're such a good partnership. We just kind of, you know, dot each other's I's and cross each other's T's, and it's really more of a mutual partnership than anything. I mean, they're clearly the owners, and you know, there's Sarah. Their daughter Sarah is also involved with the business too. She's going to college up at St. Ben's for business as well. So we kind of call ourselves the Core Four, and we just do our daily thing, and we really enjoy what we do, and we love providing a space for the community to come and enjoy good food and good coffee and good conversation. And
you even provide a place to shoot movies.
That we do. All of a sudden,
was
we found
fun
we were.
For you?
That was an experience. Fun, yeah. I mean, it had its fun moments. It's a lot of work, and it was really insightful to get the kind of the experience of seeing how these things are put together. And I didn't realize how much work is really involved. I mean, these folks work 12-hour shifts, essentially.
If you don't know what we're talking about, a movie Hollywood crew came in.
That's right.
And made a Christmas movie for not Northfield, and they changed the name of the Hideaway to the Hot Cross Bun, or what was it called? It was Bun something, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Oh, gosh, you know, you put me on the spot, and I can't remember off the top of my head, and I was there. It was called Love Always Santa, and it was a
Hallmark. They changed the name of it, too.
Yep, they did.
So that'll be on forever.
Yes.
And one of the Spalding boys.
Yep, the eldest.
To be in it.
He was.
For a few seconds.
Yeah, that's Michael. And he's out in California pursuing his acting career doing what he can there. So, again, you know, Spalding family kids are often doing amazing things.
Yep.
And so yes, we did. We had a little taste of Hollywood right in our town. I know they casted locals around here to be extras in the background and things like that. So it was a real community affair.
Yeah, it was very cool.
It was very cool. Now,
the question I have, I will tell you who is the general manager. Who makes out the schedule?
Well, that would be Joan.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Whatever she
needs.
You're
lucky.
I am kind of lucky. It's not without its stress, and especially when half of your employees are college students.
Yeah.
And we love them, but they're busy with their schedules too, and so it gets a little hairy trying to go through the seasons and changes, and when kids graduate and new ones come in, and I'm very much involved in the hiring process, but fortunately, I let the scheduling all on her. She's a trooper, and she really, you know, has to.
Had you ever been in the restaurant business before?
Oh yeah, so I graduated from Le Cordon Bleu, and I think the last time
Le Cordon Bleu up at Brown.
Yes, it was there. It's no longer there anymore.
Well, I know, but when it was there, I was on the Board of Regents.
That's right.
And the Cordon Bleu people served us meals.
Yes,
practice
in the Minnesota room, right?
Yeah,
yes,
it was fantastic.
Yes. So I did. I am a chef. Yeah. And I went there, and I mean, I started my college career intending to be a teacher. So my alma mater was the University of Minnesota. But I think one day I woke up, and I must have been hungry when I did, because word of advice, don't make big life decisions on an empty stomach. And I woke up one morning, and I thought, you know what? I don't want to be a teacher anymore. I don't like the school. I don't know anybody. I have no friends. You know, I went through my whole slump. And I said, that's it.
Where was that in?
This was my junior year. At the University of Minnesota.
Were you student teaching?
No, I wasn't even. I was still an undergrad. I was still pursuing my bachelor's. And I woke up and I said, that's it. I'm done. I want to go to cooking school.
All right.
And my mother, you know, her jaw dropped and her eyes widened. And she thought, I've never seen you boil an egg. And you want to go to cooking school. And, you know, my parents are gracious people, and they said, okay, we'll support
you. That's
very expensive. It was a very expensive decision.
I mean, people may not realize that, but you're going to cooking school, big deal. It's
right.
Very expensive.
So after graduation, yes, I got a real good taste of what it's like to work on the line. And I tell you, you know, it's a lot of hard work, and you have to be married to the job.
Do you watch those cooking shows? The Hell's Kitchen, I think it is.
Oh, are you kidding? Of course.
I mean, do you think that's real?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's
drama. Well, I know it's yeah. But I mean, I know.
Yeah, it really much is. It's
I know
really
that
intense.
The chef can be a real son of a gun in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And the waitresses who are servers, you have to say, that would take care of your order and bring it in.
Oh, yeah.
And then if it isn't right, they have to bring it back and tell the man or the woman.
And it's scary to do that.
That, hey, they said it's overdone.
Yeah. Right.
And then you get yelled at.
Yes.
And then you have to go out and put smile on.
It's true.
Yeah.
I've been yelled at both in the back of the house and the front of the house before. So, and you know, I mean, Gordon Ramsay, the chef you're referring to with Hell's Kitchen,
what a filthy mouth.
Oh, yeah. He's interesting. I mean, that's his personality. I cannot say that all chefs are like that. But, you know, I mean, it's an intense job, and you want to make sure that you get it right and fast.
Have you ever had any experience in a major kitchen?
Oh yeah, I was a banquet chef for a year at Oak Ridge Country Club, and that is up in Hopkins, Minnesota. That was my first gig, actually, out of culinary school. And my day would start at 10 in the morning, and we'd start by whipping up salad dressings and getting garde-manger ready and, you know, getting ready for lunch and all of that. And then I was behind the line doing cold kitchen. And after that, we would re-prep, and then the day would go until about 11 o'clock at night. So
Cold
kitchen. It's
C-O-L-D?
Yeah. Yeah. It just refers to salad sandwiches, you know, the things that, you know, not the grill.
Okay.
You know.
Well, speaking about grill, I think we're going to have some more music. I'm going to take a brief break here, and we'll be back in a minute and a half, and we will then have the guys get involved in our conversation this morning. Stand by, folks. You're listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. Three members of a five-piece band called No Name. are being highlighted today.
This is Patrick Clark Carey, chaplain at Three Links Care Center in Northfield. Our mission statement is important to families, residents, and to us. It states, creating peace of mind for those we serve. To me, that means we care about every aspect of each person's life, body, mind, and spirit. Their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs are important to us in creating that peace of mind so each is safe, secure, and loved under our care. Creating peace of mind for those we serve. That's our goal at Three Links.
Today is International Women's Day, and Judy's Floral Design is honoring this day by offering a free flower to every woman stopping in to celebrate with them. But age has no boundary on this special day, so in addition to stopping in for your free flower, Judy and her awesome staff will be at each of the assisted living communities throughout the day, giving a flower to each woman they meet. Because whether it's International Women's Day or any day, honor, respect, and love translate so beautifully with flowers.
Aging Services for Communities is a nonprofit agency dedicated to personalized, non-medical care for families throughout southern Minnesota. They are in need of good drivers to take residents to and from medical appointments in Faribault, Farmington, Lakeville, and Northfield. If you are available to provide transportation assistance, please call 507-317-1050. Learn more about Aging Services for Communities online at aging-services.org.
Well, okay, dude. That KYMN Radio is back live and in color from our studios in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. And we have the leader of the band. Ooh, that's a song, isn't it? And his name, yeah. And Greg Smith, you're going to be on the guitar here. It appears you're going to sing too.
Sure.
And what is the title of the song that Amber and Craig will be singing and with you? As he stands up now.
No, okay. I get it. Okay.
And the name of the song is?
Well, we're going to do Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying. Jerry and the Pacemakers, part of the British Invasion.
Oh, yeah. The 60s. I remember Jerry and the Pacemakers. I don't remember the song.
Yeah, Don't Let the Sun Catch
didn't
You
do,
Crying.
Didn't they do, cross the river?
Ferry across the Mersey.
Yeah, ferry, yeah, okay.
Ferry across the Mersey, yes.
All right, well, I'll shut up and listen. Ladies and gentlemen, the three of five no names. Don't let the sun catch you crying. Let's
Let the sun catch you crying. The night's the time for all your tears. Your heart may be broken tonight, but tomorrow in the morning light, don't let the sun catch you crying. The nighttime shadows disappear, and with them go all your tears. For the morning will bring joy for every girl and boy.
Well, I didn't mean to do that, but I did it. Yeah, let me turn some microphones here. There we go. We have one person here that says she does not remember that song at all. And I'm saying...
that would be me.
Yeah. And I'm saying I remember that about 1966, right, Craig?
There. That's right in there.
Yeah.
Right in there, yes.
Well, here's the one I remember.
Yep, sure.
I could play this on a radio in Tomba, Wisconsin. The boss hated rock and roll, but this one he would listen to. Have you ever heard this one, Amber?
You know, no, I haven't. But, you know, that's the beauty of it. I'm learning all of these amazing classics. I love it. I love it.
'Cause this land's the place I love, and here I'll stay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry and the Peacemakers on WTMD in Tomba, Wisconsin.
People, they rush everywhere.
All right, a little bit of Ferry Across the Murphy, one of the bands that the guys here like to, and gal, like to cover. And it is already 14 minutes before. It is 11 o'clock on this Thursday morning, March the 8th. And the year, of course, is 2018. Hey, I didn't say 1918. Boy, I'm trying to get used to it.
I'm still saying 17, or at least I'm writing that on my checks. So.
Oh, but I'm still doing 1917 rather. The other day I said, next year's, to my wife, next year's kind of cool. It's going to be 1919, and they got this great root beer called that. I wonder what they're going to be doing. She looked at me. She says, Wayne, it's the 21st century. Oh, 2019. Okay, never mind. Never mind. 13 minutes before, it is 11 o'clock. I'm going to have a vocalist coming in, I think, sometime next week, and he is a preacher, a pastor, that will be preaching in Lakeville someplace, and he's from Florida. And I think, I don't know, I don't think he sings as kids do. They're really good. But they're older now, and so it isn't as cute as it used to be. So we got time. We have. I hate that when I say we got. You know, another one that gets to me is my mother used to get on. Let me read you the recipe. Let me read you the article. And they do it on national television.
Oh, yeah.
Really good announcers and educated people. Well, let me read you the... No, it's let me read to you.
That's right.
You know, And they now every time you guys hear that, you're going to say, "Oh yeah."
Yep.
Because once something gets
use that good grammar. Come on, guys.
Yeah. Let me read you. No, let me read to you. All right. So, Craig, you seem to be mastering up there on the guitar. Let me count the strings, all six of them. And, oh, I know what I was going to ask you. If you can put that mic down by him, I would appreciate it. Oh, you're going to stand up. When I talk to the people that have been sent my way by John Hiscox.
Right.
I always ask about the guitar they're playing.
Sure.
Yesterday, a guy had a, or I think it was yesterday, mm-hmm. a beautiful guitar. It was just gorgeous.
You said a Taylor.
Yeah, it was a Taylor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, were you listening?
I was.
Okay.
Non-stop.
You remember how much he said he paid for it?
It was over $1,000.
$1,400.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought they were like, you know, $95 or something. What have you got going?
This, my first summer job when I was 15 years old, I worked with the Parks Department in Crystal. And I worked with the children all summer. Saved up my money. And I went down to, at that time, they have Schmidt Music.
Oh, yeah.
Had a store in Robbinsdale. Mm. And this was a $50 purchase, brand new.
Wow.
I bought it in 67, my first guitar.
Mm.
And it just keeps having a beautiful sound. So I had this a long time.
Do you remember what your wages were? To park?
Well, probably $50.
No, what I mean is...
they were so real low.
If you want to figure out what a $50 guitar from Schmidt Music cost in 1968, $50, what is that in today's money?
Oh, sure.
And now I think if I can... Okay, I would say that it is five times more.
Well, I remember I had to save every penny to pull this off at 15, and it was my my first paying job. So this purchase has been probably one of the best buys ever.
Yeah, probably $500 guitar today.
It was made. Apparently it doesn't say who made this. It was made for Schmidt Music,
okay.
And they were trying to break into the classical guitar world.
Oh, Randy Ferguson.
So Randy Ferguson sound, and. I think it's probably a Yamaha is what I've been able to come up with.
In 1968?
Maybe. I mean, that's the only thing I've come up with.
I was riding a Yamaha in 68.
Well, I can't ride mine.
I was doing.
Yeah.
Well,
actually, the big one I had was a 73 when they first came out with the 750,
yes.
Which was a big bike at that time. 9 minutes before 11 o'clock, another song from our group. Of three, go ahead.
It's a little bit for Randy Ferguson. Going to do What a Wonderful World, Louis Armstrong version from 67.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very positive song. So, Amber, after listening to your conversation about your feelings about Northfield, that this is a great place and an opportunity for our children to grow up and a lot of cool people, I think this is a perfect song for us to do. What a Wonderful World.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I agree. Skies of blue,
bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands. How do you do? They're saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Watch them grow. They've learned much more. I'll never know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Think to myself, what
Well, thank you, No Name Band, with Three of the Five appearing here on KYMN Radio, the Wayne Eddy Affair. And just for fun, I thought I would see if I can do something here. What's it? You all have your earphones on? That's Satchmo.
I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Great song. Absolutely great song. The Satchmo, you know, I always like to let people know that when I was a young kid going to concerts, it was at a place similar to the Northfield Ballroom in size, and Louis Satchmo appeared at the Prom Ballroom.
Yep.
And, that shark there. You know, he's just one heck of an entertainer. We have to wrap things up here on the Wayne Eddy Affair, but before we do, we have to hear from our sponsors. We appreciate them very much.
It's time to stop smoking once and for all by attending the next Mark Patrick Hypnosis Seminar in Northfield. In just 2 hours, you can finally become a lifelong non-smoker. Regardless of your past experience or how long you've been smoking, this program is designed so you can stop smoking without anxiety, irritability, or gaining weight. For only $49.99, you can become a non-smoker through hypnosis. Tuesday, March 13th at the Archer House River Inn, 212 Division Street in Northfield, from 8 to 10 p.m. Registration begins at 7:30. Seating is limited, so get there early to reserve your spot. All forms of payment are accepted. Or for more information, go to markpatrickseminars.com. Over 500,000 have attended their program. Try it. It can work for you. Almost everyone knows someone who stopped smoking using hypnosis. Now that someone can be you. Attend the Mark Patrick Seminar, Tuesday, March 13th at the Archer House River Inn, 212 Division Street in Northfield, and use the power of hypnosis to stop smoking now.
Let us help you maximize your earnings with a certificate of deposit from Community Resource Bank. Invest in a 60-month CD at 2% or a 48-month at 1.75 annual percentage yield, or choose a 54-month bump option at 1.70% APY. Get the best deposit rates around with Community Resource Bank in Northfield, Cannon Falls, and Roseville. Good bankers, good friends. $25,000 minimum deposit required. Penalty for early withdrawal may reduce earnings. Other rates and terms are available. Member FDIC.
I love Grandpa's new home. There's so much to do.
That's right. Millstream Commons helps improve the lives of seniors through all kinds of fun activities. Personalized care from a dedicated and well-trained staff, amazing creative meals prepared fresh every day and served in a social setting, live-to-be-healthy fitness classes, private apartments with all the amenities of home, and a place to continue your relationships with family and loved ones. Millstream Commons, your vibrant life continues here.
Your vehicle's engine warning light could mean something as simple as a loose gas cap or something serious and potentially expensive if you don't address it right away. Have our professional technicians at Witt Brothers Service diagnose and fix the problem as part of your overall preventative maintenance program. It could save you from costly problems down the road. Stop by Witt Brothers Service at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield for all of your automotive maintenance and repair needs.
Where am I? I'm playing with the computer here on the Wayne Eddy Affair, and I don't want to do that. Oh, listen to the applause we're getting here this morning.
Thanks everybody.
You going to put this one? I have a story about this song, too. Hey, the No Name Band, minus two. Singing If I Had a Hammer. Go ahead, guys. Wow, you're doing well. Well, I'm going to fade that down, and I'm going to tell you that I've had a great deal of pleasure having everybody in. Let's see if I can remember all the names. Ladies first, Amber Miskowitz, and also Craig Schuster and Greg Smith.
Yep.
Three of the five that are in a band called, you haven't decided yet, is that correct?
That's right. To be determined.
We're working on it.
Have you got any idea?
Yeah, we do. We do. I mean, what do we think of so far? We had the Voco Loco.
Okay, I like
that.
We had
the Vibe Tribe.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Greg, any other ones that you kind of want to come up with, or you threw
a
few
out
there.
I like to think of funny ones.
You did. He came up with Fast Amber and the Slow Pokes. I thought that was pretty funny.
Did you say Fast Amber and the Slow Pokes?
Yes.
I don't get, is there an inside joke there?
No, I don't know. Greg, is there?
Well, we're going to go down and see a singer called Fast Annie
in
Winona, and they have a recording studio.
Yes.
We're going to be doing some work in the studio. You had a Robin Ness in here who was going to record us first, I believe.
Okay.
So we're going to start with Robin. You had a guest here that has a studio. We're going to work with him and then go down to Winona, and we'd like to meet Fast Annie.
Yeah, we're really having fun getting to know each other.
And big sister.
Are you going to ever do anything in the Hideaway?
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, we were just talking about that. Mm-hmm. We might do we like to do live music on Friday nights if we can. So if there's anybody listening who does music as well, you know, give us a shout. We're always looking.
No, you're talking the Hideaway.
Yep, at the Hideaway.
Not the group you're with today.
No, but we will also perform at the Hideaway at some point in the near future as well. So,
well, I have to give a station break and turn it over to somebody else. I want to thank you all very much for coming in.
Thanks, Wayne. Thanks, everybody.
Keep up the good work for the music in Northfield.
All right. I got to thank my friend John
Hiscox.
Mm-hmm. Hiscox. Isn't that crazy? Somebody's waving at us. Hey. I don't know who that was. Did you know?
You.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who she was. Yeah. Okay.
Mystery woman.
1101 on the 1, 95.1 FM.
Locally owned, independently programmed, 95.1. The 1.
It's a dark road on the other side.